gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org. Welcome, everybody. You know, every second Thursday, we get to talk about New Mexico travel, food, events, where to stay, where to play, all that good stuff with the innkeepers who belong to the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association. I encourage you to go to the website. It is nmbba.org. And today we're going up to Chama, New Mexico, kind of a remote area, beautiful area. It's right on the border of Colorado. And we're going to chat with John and Veronica Bush, the owners and innkeepers of The Victorian. So you can go to thevictorianchama.com, and that's C-H-A-M-A. So welcome back, Veronica. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having John and I on your program. And we're having a little bit of a snowstorm, but not too much. It's actually a springy type of very cool light dusting, and we're just getting ready for our summer season. What happens here in Chama is that long about, I don't know, May, we start getting such a profusion of flowers. And at our Victorian bed and breakfast, it's a big yellow house, and it's been yellow for a long time. And some people call it, oh yeah, Old Yeller. That's how you find it if you're lost. It's a two-story 1880s Victorian home. But when the poppies bloom starting in mid May through about the middle of June, there is a sea of orange poppies. You feel like you're going into Oz. It's beautiful.
Ooh,
and then
that's
all
amazing.
Over town, people have, oh, I know. It's just very spectacular. People drive by and take pictures. The other thing is, in Chama, there are very well-established lilac bushes that have been here for a long time. Very big, very beautiful, very lush. And every year about the time that spring comes, the whole town just smells beautiful, beautiful. And up on the pass, there is a rancher who brings up a herd of sheep, and there's little baby lambs running all over the place, and it's a really fun time to come to Chama. And that's why I'm glad that you had us on your program this time of year to get people excited about coming to the Southwest Chama, which is close to 8,000 feet. What is it specifically, John?
Oh, it's about 7,800 feet.
Yeah. So it's very blue sky, very wonderful. So we are welcoming people. We've been in business now. Well, the Victorian, what used to be called the Gandy Dancer for people that used to stay here, we changed it to the Victorian because we wanted to really give honor to the heritage of both the railroad, the CSX railroad that's here, and the house, the vintage of the house, 1880s. And we have lots of Victorian antiques in the house. But we started running this as the Victorian. We bought the house in 2020, and we opened up for business in 21. So we're now having a lot of repeat customers. And indeed, during Christmas, there was a lot of people coming to town because we had a big, huge Christmas turnout this year. And Santa Claus and trains and everyone in town was very excited. There were lots of Christmas lights everywhere. And then in January is the Chama Chili Classic Ski Race. So we have every year a repeat business of people that come up to be in that race. So
then you are open year-round then for people to know when you're talking about, summer, and I know summer and fall are really like your peak season, but people now in spring can still come up even if there is a little bit of snow?
Oh, absolutely. No, actually, there's usually not snow here in May and June.
Okay.
Usually not. It's just usually very beautiful, crispy weather. I'm going to hand it to John. He's got something to say here. Hang on.
Hi, John. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi. We're good. We're good.
Good.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of snow usually in the winter, but and we are open year-round, and primarily we do that because so many of the places here in northern New Mexico, it's obviously mostly seasonal, are closed in the winter. It's frankly easier for us to keep the house open than it is to winterize it.
Yeah.
And worry that you forgot something. Well, that might save a little money, you know, not if you forgot to turn the water off on one of the faucets.
Funny.
So at 7 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms, it would be a lot to winterize. So we do enjoy the winter company, and it is a marvelous time to come up in it. We've got a hot tub out on the deck, and
nice.
There's nothing more wonderful than, you know, sort of snow around you and looking up at the stars while you're sitting in a hot tub and enjoying an adult beverage out of a non-breakable glass.
There it is. That sounds good to me. I mean, just being up in the mountains, some fresh air, just everything looks, you know, going on your website. And again, everyone, the victoriaandshama.com is the website to go to. It just looks so fresh and beautiful. I wanted to ask you, you know, because last time you were on the show, we were talking about the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. When does that open up for people to be able to ride the rails?
So this year, the Cumbres and Toltec will open on Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And then it will run 6 days a week, no trains on Mondays, all the way through the end of the third week of October.
Oh, wow.
And in the last 3 weeks of operation, a train leaves Chama at 10 in the morning. Train leaves Antonito, Colorado at 10 in the morning. When our guests stay here, we feed them breakfast at 8:30, and it's a big communal dining table. Or we will feed them breakfast at 8, not 8:30. Or we will feed them at 7:30 if they need to catch an 8:30 motor coach, which the railroad provides, to go and start their ride at the Antonito end. So the last 3 weeks, the railroad will also offer a 9 o'clock departure out of Chama. So you can ride to the midpoint and back starting at 9, or the whole route starting at 10. And of course, the busiest season is September and October, when the leaves are turning gold. We used to refer to it as the gold rush here in Chama, because it is just glorious with all the aspens, you know, turning gold and shimmering in the wind.
That's beautiful. I mean, we need to get up out your way for sure, because it just looks so beautiful. And it looks like there's a lot of, outdoor adventure to be had as well. You've got the trains, but also just getting out in the nature area. I was curious about that in regards to hiking, maybe bird watching, wildlife watching. Is that something that guests come up for?
Oh, absolutely. There is a profusion of wildflowers, particularly in the spring and in June, July. And then wildlife, there are deer, elk.
Ooh.
We see coyotes. In fact, this winter we actually chased several coyotes because they couldn't get off the road for a while. But they're deer and elk. There's coyote, there's fox, a bear, eagles, hawks.
Mm.
Wild turkeys.
Oh, cool.
It really is dramatic. And of course, the profusion of wildflowers includes the blue columbines, which are a Colorado state flower.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Sunflowers.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is a gorgeous thing. The railroad offers a couple of geology trains where people come up and, as they ride the railroad, get a special train that makes a number of stops and talks about the geology of the environment. Of course, there's horseback riding and lots of fly fishing. The Rio Chama is got good fly fishing, and the Trujillo Meadows Reservoir is good fishing as well, and a great place to take kids for them to fish. They stock it, and so beautiful mountain environment and a chance to teach the kids how to fish and catch trout.
Mm. Wow. So this is cool. So let's talk about food, because you've got all these adventures. Let's talk about what there is to, let's start with breakfast at the inn. What's breakfast look like
for folks
Okay,
to whet
so
their breakfast appetite, and then where can they eat in town? But let's start with breakfast.
let's start with the gourmet breakfast at the Victorian in Tama, New Mexico. We have a great announcement this year. We have a new manager with our management team. Her name is Amy Rector, and she comes to us from the railroad. She has run restaurants and cantinas in the past and is a renowned cook, and she has joined our team. So in the morning, she helps us, and we cook everything from huevos rancheros to green chili and pinon cornbread. We make omelets. We make frittatas.
Sounds good
Oh,
to
we
me.
introduced shrimp and grits too. We're
What?
perfecting
Ooh.
that. We
Ooh.
always serve a beautiful array of fruit with a little accent of sorbet on there.
Ooh.
And we have waffles with Palisade peaches on top, with whipped cream,
Oh,
and
Palisade
other
from
wonderful
Palisade peaches from
Colorado.
Palisade, Colorado. Yeah. Ooh, I've been up there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
every August you have, yeah. So every August we go up to Palisade and get several crates of peaches and put them up and put them in our freezer so we can serve Palisade peaches with our waffles.
Ooh,
And of course
yummy.
we have some very good high altitude, very crisp, clear coffee. We get so many comments on our coffee because I go through a five phase process of cleaning the pot, making sure the water is crispy, crispy clean, and the coffee grounds are extra ready, and the pot and everything is ready to go. And I have so many people say, "Oh, this is the best coffee I've ever had." I don't know if it's the altitude or what. But here, John wants to say something. Here he is.
Along
John.
with the gourmet breakfast, which are served a sort of family style. I mean, individually plated, but we have a big dining room and everybody sits together. Of course, that's one of the wonderful things with bed and breakfast, and particularly this one, is that first of all, bed and breakfast have lots of interesting customers, and people talk to each other. They start, communicating and sharing addresses. So that's one of the really nice things about it. But in the afternoons, there are fresh homemade either cookies or raspberry bars or brownies. So there's really quite a dining experience, and it's a different meal every morning.
Oh, that's cool.
It's
And what
not a
about,
made to order.
yeah, you've
I'm
got a
sorry.
different, yeah, I was going to say, and then in the, afternoon, evening, it's nice to have treats. I think we all like our little baked treats when we go to bed and breakfast. That's a specialty. But what about in the town itself? What can people experience in regards to dining and then it, what there is to do in the actual town of Chama?
There are a couple of barbecue restaurants. Of course, there's Foster's, which dates to the 1880s.
Wow.
Lots of opportunities to have Southwestern food, New Mexican food, pizza. There's also pizza available. So there are a variety of restaurants available here.
Okay, and
Now,
then,
new things. I'm sorry.
no, go ahead, say
New
that, say
things
what you.
happening. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm listening. No, I was just asking you, yeah, what is going on in the actual area of Chama itself, the town, and I think that's what you were answering. Let's go ahead.
Well, of course, the primary thing going on has to do with the railroad in the summer. New things at the Victorian. As soon as the weather warms up, we're putting up a nice fence around the Victorian fence that and a new entrance way, and we will be changing the homepage of the VictorianChama.com to show the new fence. We're pretty excited about those kind of changes. One of the other things I do want to mention, the Friends of the Cumbres & Toltec, which is a volunteer group that supports the railroad, come up here and work several work sessions in the summer. And the Victorian offers a special discount to members of the Friends of the Cumbrian Toltec. So we'll give 10% discount to those people. And we encourage people to join the Friends and take advantage of the discount. The Friends are a very important part of the community and the survival of the railroad. The railroad, of course, is 64 miles of essentially unchanged since 1880. And any project that big requires a substantial volunteer effort. So we are very supportive of that effort that they make.
It's really nice to have people that volunteer. And I think that's a way of travel now, is people want to be closer into the community that they're visiting. And so they volunteer, or it's a wonderful way to be connected. And when you're keeping history alive, it's a beautiful thing to experience, you know. And I don't think we have many trains that we can do this in this country, right? This is one of those really unique experiences for folks.
Yeah, it is the premier. It is the premier historic preserved project. 64 miles of, it's like an eddy in the current of time. Veronica wanted to mention something about our guests, so let me.
Oh, sure.
So I just want to give a profile to the listeners of the kind of people that actually come and stay here. Of course, during the summer, we're heavily populated with people that are coming here to ride the Cumbrian Toltec Scenic Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that because they want to see, you know, the natural railroad and the environment. We do have several specialty groups. We have a big group of people called the Narcoa group, and they have these little speeders that go on the railroad. They're little independent vehicle rail cars. Oh. We have a whole group of those people, and they'll be parking their speeders out in our very ample parking area, because we're on a corner and we have a lot of parking. So if anybody wants to come in the winter with snowmobiles or any kind of big vehicle, we have the room for it. The other thing is that particularly around this time of year, we talked about birders.
Mm-hmm.
People come up here to go to Del Norte. There's a big sanctuary of birds there, and they come to, it's called the Sandhill Cranes, and they're looking at Sandhill cranes, their migration. And this part of the year, we do see many people who are here who are birders. The other interesting group of people that come up here are filmmakers. Last year, when Hollywood had its strike, the film industry did not shut down, and there was a whole crew of filmmakers that have been flown in from Korea to do a commercial for a rollout of a new Hyundai vehicle.
Oh.
So the entire film crew rented this home, and there were cameras and cords and very, very sweet, nice people from Korea, half of which did not speak English, but they left me little origami flowers and art pieces to thank me. And they brought their own rice and chopsticks. And it was very fun. And they were very, very nice. But occasionally, there will be people up here who are scouting the area for potential movies in the future. So, as you know, the film industry in Santa Fe is exploding, and Netflix has moved one of its offices south of Santa Fe. So we do get an awful lot of people from Hollywood who do come here and want to have kind of a private sort of set away sort of place to be here.
That's nice.
And then additionally, this is kind of en route to Ghost Ranch. So people coming from Denver who are going to spend a week or so in Ghost Ranch, come down here, spend the night, and then move on to Ghost Ranch for their week of Santa Fe style, you know, living. We had the minister, Reverend Troxler from the Presbyterian Church in Inglewood, Colorado, come here with his family on the way to Ghost Ranch. And he and his wife just had a beautiful time. I guess what you could say is that the people who stay here are not only here for the train. They are here to ride horses down at the Brazos. They are here to hike. We have an area that's close to the elementary school here called Sargent Wildlife Preserve. And it's a very well-groomed, maintained wilderness area. And it can give either an easy hike or a more challenging moderate hike. And you can go as far as you can. It's really very beautiful. And in the spring, the trail is usually very dry. And again, beautiful birds, beautiful wildflowers, really fresh air. The Continental Divide hike is up the pass at the top of Coombers Pass.
Cool.
So there are people that to hike there, and certainly hiking around Trujillo Meadows or the road into Trujillo Meadows is a beautiful thing to do. Even to hike the road up to the Brazos Cliffs is a very nice thing to do. This time of year, middle of May, there is a big waterfall that falls out of the cliffs. They call it the Chorro. And every year you can tell when spring is really here because the ice is melting and the waterfall proceeds. So, you know, about May, mid-May, you're going to see the Chorro. And people come up here to see that as well. You know, the last time we had an interview, you said I should report a little bit more on UFOs. Okay?
Why not?
It was sort of an odd little entrance. It was a little curveball, if you'll recall.
We're always into it. We always are into anything that is, you know, unexplained or unexplainable, but we're getting better with it, I think. So we all know they're there, right? So, you know, they're not that identified. They're there. Just saying. So we can beam up, and you're at a high elevation, so we're at a closer spot. Just saying.
I think so. Well, in addition, there is this great folklore that there is an underground UFO base over in Dulce, the capital of the Hickory Apache Nation, which is about a 30-mile drive from Chama. But many of the people of that nation have reported many, many odd experiences over in Dulce. And indeed, many of the ranchers, the longtime ranchers here, and some of the old policemen and firemen who were around here during the 70s and 80s have some very interesting stories. Now, of course, everybody knows about the UFO crash, one of the most famous UFO stories ever from Roswell that occurred in July of 1947. There was another mostly undocumented crash in Aztec, New Mexico. And I believe it occurred after the 1947 Roswell event. It occurred on government land in the Aztec area on the Rio Grande Railroad. And there are people who say that they witnessed this event, this crash. And the folklore of this story, this is pure folklore, handed down through the generations in Chama, is that this particular crashed vehicle was put on a flatbed car on the Rio Grande Railway. And it was transported to Chama and spent the night in the roundhouse in Chama, New Mexico. And it is reported that that vehicle with some bodies in it spent the night, and the night watchman, according to folklore, was bound in an oath that he would never, ever report this event. Next morning, according to the story, the Rio Grande takes off with this craft in its car. So then the story is that the night watchman on his deathbed told his family what had happened. And this story has been passed down through generations of people in Chama ever since. Now,
wow.
The thing is, this story is also supported by the Aztec Visitor Center, by the lady, I think her name is Will Ann, who runs the visitor center there. And she said, this is a true story. She's got many people who support this. So there you have it. There's your UFO story for today. Now, John is holding his hand out. I think.
Well, I want to ask real quick about Aztec, because we've been there and we've been to Aztec ruins. There's that national monument there, and also to Chaco Canyon. And when we were out there, people were kind of, you know, there was that, you know, what really went down here, you know, kind of conversation. But how far are you, or close are you, to Aztec, Chama wise?
This is John. Aztec's about 90 miles west.
Oh, nothing. Yeah, that's
Chama. But okay. But I might point out actually a couple of other things in the area. Speaking of Dulce, there is a new Colorado and New Mexico's newest scenic and historic byway called the Tracks Across Borders Byway. Runs from Chama all the way to Durango along the route of the old railroad through the Jicarilla Nation and the Southern Ute Nation, and is a marvelous opportunity to get in touch with the native cultures. This byway, long before the railroad was a trade route, it was part of the old Spanish trail, and so we encourage people to see that. And the other thing, of course, you were talking about UFOs, is that Chama has almost no lights, the area around here, at night. And so it is a wonderful dark sky opportunity. So when the shower of Perseus and the other meteor showers occur, it is a wonderful place to go and see the stars and the meteors, you know, most of which anymore you can't see from the cities because there's so much light. So right. It is a great sky opportunity as well.
To me, that is part of the joy about going out in places like Chama, is that, like I said, first thing is this fresh air feels like such a, you know, we need it as human beings to get out into places like that. It's invigorating. It does so much for our bodies because, you know, cities are polluted. You know, they're not that great in regards to for our health, for breathing. And I feel like sometimes we get stifled by that kind of air. You know, it's just to be up in the mountains and just have that freshness. I don't know, you come alive, even if you're tired. You know what I mean? A lot of people want to go to bed and breakfast and get away from it and kind of relax and sleep. And, you know, but being up and hiking and having a good night's sleep after that, there's nothing like that, is there? You know, when you're out in a place like Chama with that, just, I don't know, just out in the countryside, you know, it's invigorating.
That's absolutely true. That it is restorative.
Yes, that's the word.
The house has been restored. The railroad is being restored. So there is a very restorative quality about getting away from the city and enjoying the clear mountain air, getting away from the pollution. So it really does provide an opportunity to rebuild, you know, your sense of self and your place in the universe.
So, and the other thing too, I was going to say what's great about this is, you know, you're getting out, you're doing things, you get to, because you're hiking and you're out in nature and you're going outdoors, you're riding the rails, you're doing things, right, physically, that means you get to have an extra brownie when you come to the B&B, right? We're allowed to. So I'm making a case for the brownies. Yes, that's an important thing. You get to have treats on vacation, you know. You're allowed to.
I was going to give another plug to people making friends here. It is so fun when people are sitting at breakfast and they're loving each other so much and they don't know each other and they're exchanging phone numbers and emails so that they can stay in touch and maybe come back the next year. But we're actually tour conductors on a trip going across Canada with the Rocky Mountaineer, John and I. And half the people on this group are people that stayed at our bed and breakfast who want to travel together. So,
oh,
isn't
that's
that
nice.
Amazing? Very friendly sort of group.
I think that is a beauty of a bed and breakfast. And even for the innkeepers, I have a friend who's a retired innkeeper, and she's like, the best thing about being an innkeeper, she said, I had the world at my breakfast table every morning. I heard stories from around the world, across the country, and people getting together and communicating about, hey, this is what I did today. And they learn from each other what to experience in the area too. But she was just like, I have the world at my breakfast table. Who gets to say that? Do you guys feel that way too?
Oh, absolutely. That is one of the most marvelous qualities about the place, is that we get all these people from all over the world coming and they meet each other. And of course, as it turns out, people are really pretty interesting. And the bed and breakfast thing allows them to get together and communicate in ways that, you know, just doesn't happen if you go to, you know, a big hotel and eat in their dining room, the provided breakfast or that sort of thing. That's, And people really are looking to connect with each other. You know, we spend so much time in social media that people really do enjoy the opportunity to actually talk to an actual person across the table and not just, you know, post stuff in social media. And so it really is a wonderful quality. And of course, it's part of what we love about.
I think we just actually really want to have someone on the other end of the phone that we can understand, you know, too, when you know, I know everyone, we have online bookings and all of that, which is great. But, and by the way, if you can book directly with the bed and breakfast, it saves a lot of hassle for a lot of people, including yourself. If you need to change or move rooms, it's always good to book directly with the inn, other than those other people, you know, sometimes it's good. But to be able to have a conversation, like you're saying, beyond social media, I think nowadays we're actually craving honest to goodness, real customer service. You know, I know that it's frustrating where it's like, yo, let me put you on hold. Let me, you know, here's somebody from a different country. We don't understand each other. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, I think we crave something that isn't automated. I don't want a chat bot. I actually want to talk to someone about where I'm going to stay. You know what I mean? We've gone too far, I think, in some ways. No, and in the hospitality industry, we want someone there. We want to know someone actually baked the cookies, not the factory. You know?
Exactly. And while people are certainly welcome to go to our website and book online.
Yeah.
The rooms
directly
and there
with
are descriptions
you.
On the website. We are happy to have people call, and we can do the booking for you. And of course, our policy is that there's full refunds if you cancel. You know, typically we hope that people will not cancel, and if they have to, give us at least 24 to 48 hours so that we can adjust the amount of food we have available and fresh and ready. But yeah, I think people are yearning for that kind of human contact, and bed and breakfast, ours and others as well, provide a unique opportunity for people to get that human contact, which is an important part of life, and certainly important part of the small town environment that Chama is.
Oh, and that's the other part, a small town environment. We've got to have that too. You know, that's an important part of America's backbone, is the small towns and the small shops and the small restaurants, the inns, you know. Mm-hmm. That's part of that experience, that if that goes away, everything, you know, we're building how, I mean, I'm speaking from traveling this country full time, and it's so exciting to get into a community that has a taste of its history and has kept its integrity. I know we've talked about this the last time you guys were on the show, but it's true. To go into a community that still has maintained its charm, it keeps the past and the present. You know, I'm not saying that you don't have websites and things like that, right? And modern conveniences, is just, if we start, keep building everything being these same things everywhere, like here's the housing development that looks the same. You look exactly like your neighbor. You're even buying the same cars. Eventually it becomes, I mean, what's the point anymore? And if you are having to live like that, because a lot of people do, and I totally get it, you definitely need to go to a place like Chama, you know what I mean? To have that. We have these communities that aren't, they have no feel to them anymore, because it's just a bedroom community. And that's unfortunate.
We talk about, we talk about what I call uniqueness of place. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right that so many of the cities, the suburbs, one suburb is so much like another. You know, there's the Home Depot, there's the McDonald's, there's the, you know, the Piggly Wiggly or the Safeway or the City Market or Kroger's. And so it is very refreshing to get out to a place where it's mostly mom and pop type restaurants and bed and breakfasts and things where you don't get a standardized product. You get to see how Northern New Mexico is in fact different than Arizona or Texas or Kansas City. And all of those places are wonderful too. So along with, you know, promoting this bed and breakfast, we certainly promote travel. the concept of going places, getting experiences. You know, mostly I've heard when people get older, they don't regret what they did, they regret what they didn't do.
Exactly.
And yeah. Travel is a way to find out that. And of course, travel also has the value of breaking down barriers. Mm-hmm. You know, it is much harder to dehumanize people once you've met them, once mm-hmm. you've talked to them, once you've broken bread with them. You know,
yeah.
You suddenly realize, oh, these people I didn't know that I had anything in common with. You actually do. So anyway. Yeah.
No, it's true.
I'm a little off.
I know. It's like, hey, we just want to do a big rant about everybody. If you don't travel, you're not going to feel as good as those of us who do. It's a rant. No, I'm just kidding. But it's really true about getting out there and enjoying your life and doing what you can. And, you know, I think bed and breakfast, there are these, you can stay for a week or, you know, longer, but even if it's just a weekend getaway, that can change your life. It can change your next month or two and add joy to your life because it's an adventure. You're connecting, like you're saying, you're getting a little history in there. And who knows, you may see an alien, right? That's important.
Oh, absolutely. Just have to be here and keep your eyes peeled. Sit in that hot tub and watch for them, right?
And eat the brownies. But don't give the aliens your brownies. Yeah, don't give it to them.
No.
You know, don't do that. Keep it to yourself.
Room, you know.
Well, it has been a joy having you both back on the show, and also to talk about not only the Victorian, and everyone, again, it's thevictoriantrauma.com. The links are in the show notes, including for the New Mexico Bed and Breakfast Association, nmbba.org, which is great because you can go on their site and look at all the bed and breakfast across the state, the land of enchantment. It's called that for a reason. You being able to have these really authentic experiences in a beautiful state with so much history, so much natural beauty. And then you never know, you know, aliens and all kinds of good stuff. But check those out. And it's just really cool to hear about these smaller destinations that aren't always on the map. You know what I mean? It's people always think about the bigger cities and things, but it's really nice to hear about these smaller communities and destinations. So thank you both so much for filling us in on some of the natural wonders and some of the history of the area and the odd, the unexplained.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to meet you in person here sometime.
Yes, we need to get our butts up there.
Encourage you and all of your listeners to come and visit us and all the other bed and breakfasts, not only in New Mexico, but across the United States. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you all.
Gracious hosts, unique lodging, and tasty cuisine. New Mexico bed and breakfasts are New Mexico true. Our innkeepers are as special as New Mexico, and we're sharing their stories. Read about them and plan your trip at nmbba.org.